Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
That's why I say he made my shot.
No shot. With Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say he made my shot.
Shot or no shot is brought to you by PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. PointsBet Sportsbook is now open. Download the PointsBet app now and then stop by Hawthorne Racecourse to register your account. It is Friday, which means that the 10th caller will receive a PointsBet prize back with $100 in on-site Hawthorne Racecourse wagers, $100 in PointsBet Sportsbook wagers, and four live horse racing programs and four PointsBet prize pack gifts. So be caller number 10 right now at 312-332-3776 for the prize. 10th caller right now on the Cap and J Hood Show. I'm Jeff Meller along with Connor McKnight. And today we have the young Tyler Aki filling in for Danny Zetterman in the Shot or No Shot MC role. Tyler, take it away.
All right, gentlemen. We'll start with this. I don't know if you guys were watching halftime very much, but we saw Big Sean for the Bears and Lions game. We saw Luke Combs for the Dallas and Vegas game. So shot or no shot? And I don't know if you were watching, how intently you were watching these, but it was awkward. Like the Big Sean one was, he was sitting in the stands. He was, you could see the people around him. They weren't sure whether or not to look at him or not, acknowledge that he was literally sitting right behind him. So shot or no shot? That it's time to retire these medial halftime concerts. Like, I get the Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
But everything else, is it time to retire them? Shot or no shot?
Connor, I think that is an absolute shot. I think it's a great point by Tyler there that the halftime shows for Thanksgiving have jumped the shark long ago. You're never going to better the year that Creed was the halftime show for the Lions game. I don't know, was that back in 2002 maybe? I saw that was that video was floating around Twitter yesterday, and I don't think you can ever best yourself, so there's no point in trying at this point.
First of all, the under hit on first Creed reference of the show, I had 812, and you beat it here at 804.
Oh,
so Tyler,
wow.
I owe you $15. Sorry about that.
Listen, the folks at PointsBet, they know what they're doing. They know how
they
to
do.
Set those over-unders.
They're always right there, you know? They're always right there. You feel it. Shot, right? I mean, yesterday aside, like I said, I had the migraine in the morning and basically had to catch up on the Bears game. I was absolutely toast for most of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Toast like a Thanksgiving leftover sandwich. But I don't care about the halftime shows during Thanksgiving. Usually the football games for my family, like, you know, unless I'm working the next day, are on as background noise, not, you know, prime entertainment. And I know that's not everybody's, you know, everybody's go-to, but it's been my family's kind of tradition over the years. Like, football's on just in the background. So the halftime show is just, okay, that's when we start really cooking. You know,
yes,
I mean, that's
absolutely.
Like actually cooking. You
yes.
know, that's,
yep.
it's, I have work to do. I have turkeys to baste. I have cranberries to mix up. I don't care about Sean, whether he's big, small, or little. I don't care.
Yes. No, I'm with you. It is the point where you start to chop up vegetables and
yep.
start to make sure the place settings are all set to go on the table.
Maybe get a mirepoix going.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe,
whatever suits you, whatever your family's traditions are. But it's certainly not consuming the halftime show.
No, it's not.
And I think the fact that the choice of acts shows you that people are not watching, you know, because you never get the B-listers going out for the halftime shows. I'm not even expecting an A-lister. But
when Tyler said Luke Combs had the halftime show, I was like, huh, I don't know that magician.
But wait, hold on.
Who is Luke Combs?
Do you guys know who either of these guys are? Luke Combs or Big Sean?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah, no,
I know
Big Sean.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I went to middle school in the 90s. Like,
okay,
yes, I know
perfect.
Who Big Sean is. I don't know Luke Combs, though. I had to look him up.
I do, but I'm not a huge consumer of his music. So,
are you a country music guy? Like, is that your?
I am by
nothing wrong with it. Nothing
no, no,
wrong.
I am by marriage, and what
oh,
I mean
okay.
by that is
sure.
my wife.
Yes.
My wife will listen to it. So, yeah. whenever
so
you know, occasionally when I don't force her to listen to you know ESPN 1000 or some podcast, some rogue sports podcast, I will cede to her and say, okay, we can listen to some country music on wherever we're driving, if you'd
like. So you know the same play that I do. It's like, okay, you can't admit to, like, there'll be four or five of these country songs that'll come on, or whatever your wife's genre is,
mm-hmm.
and you'll find the three or four songs that you actually do like, and you'll force the choice toward those every time those come on because they're more tolerable than the rest. You know what I mean? Like, you can't let her on. You can't let them know that you actually do like this song.
Yeah, I'm doing you a solid. Sure.
Right.
Yeah, we can.
Right, right.
Yeah, well, yeah, fine. Why
Score
not? Go
points,
ahead.
Take your layup. Yeah,
you wanna,
exactly. Okay.
Sure.
So
you want to throw on some Stapleton? Nah, sure. Go ahead, babe.
Yeah,
why not?
I guess. It's not my thing, but if you're into it, that's
I'll cool. be honest. The move by me actually is when she pops on whatever country she chooses to. If it's Kelsey Ballerina or whatever her name is, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm the wrong guy to ask.
Whenever she tosses it, I usually go one earbud. And I go the opposite earbud of wherever I'm sitting. So if I'm driving, I go left earbud so that she doesn't know that it's in. If she happens to be driving, I go right earbud. And then I just listen to whatever podcast I want to listen to anyway.
That is so
the beauty
hardcore.
Of AirPods.
What?
The beauty of AirPods.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing
yeah,
but respect. That's yeah. so good.
All right. I've derailed this. Go ahead.
During that Cowboys and Raiders game, I don't know if you guys caught this. I don't know if you guys had your sound up during the non-Bears games throughout the day, but Jim Nance was promoting one of the new South Park episodes.
What happened to the children who lived through the pandemic? Stan, Kyle, Cartman, and Kenny may have survived, but it'll never be the same. The exclusive event, South Park post-COVID.
Shot or no shot? Jim Nance lost all integrity last night with his botch of Cartman.
Cartman?
Cartman?
He's
Cartman?
Like Spider-Man. Cartman.
So good. Here are words, and I don't know any of them. I'm just going to read them the best I can.
Come on, Connor. Been there, done that. How many times have you been doing something, copy appears, and you're like,
Every time.
That's a name I don't know. I hope I get this one right.
My favorite is the other shop when they'd hand you copy that doesn't have any verbs in it.
Oh.
So you're just reading nouns over and over again with no call to action.
Yes.
My favorite.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to give Jim Nance a pass. I'll give him a big thumbs up for going, just plowing right through it and giving us that Cartman.
Because Cartman?
Now I'll never think of him the same.
Well, I'll give him a shot. I'll give him a pass. Everybody gets a pass. It's Thanksgiving. Have you seen the trailer for that South? I've been in and out of South Park for years. I can't say I'm like an avid watcher or anything like that. But mm-hmm. I love the idea that the kids have grown up because of how horrible the pandemic has been. Like, I think that'd be funny. I'll probably watch that.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of the same way. Listen, I grew up, I didn't grow up because it came, I was probably a teenager when it actually kicked off, but it helped form my comedic chops, I will say.
Yeah. Yep.
And
yeah.
So I will certainly dabble from time to time. I don't DVR it. I don't watch every episode. But if I see it resonating on social media, I'll make sure that I go back and check it out.
The beautiful thing about South Park has always been they find these niche areas to make fun of.
Yes.
But they hit it note perfect whenever they get into it. Like the South Park World of Warcraft episode is note perfect. And they've probably never played that game or known anyone who played that game in their lives, but they got into that yes. world perfectly.
Those guys are making movies now, right?
Trey Parker and Stone. Like,
again.
Listen, I don't know if you know, they did a musical too, The Book of Mormon.
Right. Yep.
There you go, Tyler Young. I love having young Tyler on the other side of the glass because I always can educate him on some things that may elude him just because of his age.
I would bet that Tyler has not seen Basketball. Is that right?
That is correct. I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
It's very good. There's another movie that you
probably won't go watch. Isn't Jim Nance in that?
Wait, hold on, Connor. Don't pat yourself on the back too much here, because if you throw a movie at Connor, there's a 99%. I'm sorry. Throw a movie at Tyler, there's a 99% chance he has not seen it.
That's true. That's absolutely
I've
true.
I've done this game with him, and he always just looks at me and is like, Mella, you're so old.
10 to 12 is, we got another hour 50 to that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, here we go. Yeah, we're going
to All right. Onward.
All right. So yesterday in the nightcap of the Thanksgiving games, the Saints lost their fourth straight. So I ask you, of the five-win NFC teams here, all right, let me list them out for you. The Vikings, the Niners, the Eagles, the Panthers, and the Saints. The Saints are the weakest of those five.
Absolute shot. In fact, I would honestly, at this stage, I might say the Bears have a better shot of making the playoffs than the Saints because of
Ooh.
How
hindered they have been by injury. I don't know what Elvin Kamara's status for the rest of the season is going to be. He missed his second straight game with a knee injury. You know, and if they don't have him out on the field, I know Mark Ingram was somewhat serviceable a week ago, but he missed last night's game. You're relying on Trevor Siemian throwing the football to Tre'Quan Smith, and you've got Ty Montgomery and Tony Jones carrying the rock for you. I mean, those are not NFL caliber players. They've been, you know, without Jameis Winston now, you know, they've moved past Drew Brees. They don't have any offensive weapons to put up a fight against anybody at this point.
Yeah, I think that's right. I would say Vikings, 49ers, Eagles, and Saints. I was watching that Saints game last night, and I have no trust in that quarterback position. And they were laying it out on the broadcast. They were doing this whole thing about how, you know, Taysom Hill's contract and Drew Brees is just kind of like, you know, saying the words that are placed in front of him, which, you know, fine, whatever. That's okay. It happens. Jeff, check me on this. The Vikings are going to Viking, right? I mean, that's just, I think they might be sneaky good. Not like sneaky good, like look out for these guys. They'll give you a fight in the playoffs. I just, you know, with the way the rest of this league kind of shapes up right now, I think the Vikings are good relative to the rest of the league.
Well, you know, the odd thing is when you look at the other five win teams that they're up against, you probably trust Kirk Cousins more than the rest.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I don't want to say those sentences out loud. Yes. It makes me feel all itchy and gross, but I think they're good.
Good's a little much, but I think
they're the least talked about team in the NFL right now.
They're respectable. You know,
they're the least bad of the middle. Does that help? Does that make it feel any less itchy?
What they can do offensively, they can run with any team in the league. You know, the surprising thing is with Mike Zimmer as your head coach, and now with they're dealing with the entire Everson Griffin situation, and he's been a critical player for them on defense. You know, he's got mental health issues that I'd be surprised if he steps on the field the rest of the season at this point.
I just hope he gets the help he needs.
I agree. But that's, you know, so their defense is where they're a problem. I mean, but Kirk Cousins is competent, and he's throwing to Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, and you've got Delvin Cook running the football. You've got an offense that can compete with most in the league. So, you know, when you have that possibility to run with teams, I think you can stay in most games. The question is, you know, at what point does Kirk Cousins subvert your ability to win the football game when it's a close game?
In other words, at what point does Kirk Cousins remember he's Kirk Cousins, right? I mean, that's the whole... Hey, quick, sidebar. May I approach?
Yes, you can. Brought to us by Ink and Law.
Thank you. Appreciate it. How do you, Jeff, how do you like point differential as a measurement in the NFL? Because, you know, Tyler and I, we're doing, you know, baseball all season long, and we talk about run differentials quite a bit and for what it is. But, you know, it's not one-to-one, right? It's apples and oranges a little bit. But I wonder how you look at point differential in the NFL. I can tell you the Vikings are a plus 13 point differential. For reference, the other five win NFC teams, right? The Niners are plus 24, more than the Vikings. The Eagles are plus 37, more than the Vikings. The Panthers are plus 6, less than the Vikings. The Saints are plus 8, less than the Vikings.
So I really like to look at it as you enter the playoffs.
I'm
not saying like I'll look at it, but I'm a little more dismissive of it mid-season, partially because schedules can skew things dramatically. And so, you know, this goes back to the whole idea of small sample size. If you run up, you know, a 40-point victory, like say, like the Bills run up a 40-point victory over the Jets, all of a sudden they've completely skewed their point differential. You know, like, and I do think like the good teams take care of business, and they absolutely pound the bad teams. And so that's a good indicator. Sometimes you'll see good teams, it's the NFL, so you can struggle with a bad team. And so I do like it when the season is over, but I don't put a ton of stock into it before we get there, unless I'm really diving into the schedule and I'm looking at, okay, who do they beat and by how much? Because I do think it can skew things a little bit, you know, in season, because we're only talking about a 16/17 game season nowadays.
Yeah.
Whereas baseball, it normalizes a little bit quicker because you've got such a big sample.
You play every team in your conference for baseball, your league, but it's not like that in football, obviously.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I think I was kind of looking at it the same way. I was thinking, you know, point differential like that, like the Rams losing to the Niners 31-10, right? They played a terrible game and they obviously didn't want to be there. And Kyle Shanahan can do that to even good teams every now and again, right?
Yeah.
But that's 21 on the wrong side of the ledger. And I don't think anybody's looking at the Rams going, like, yeah, they lost their last two games, and it was against the Titans and the Niners. But is anybody really completely off the Rams because of those two or because of the scores in each one? I don't think so.
No, it sours you just a bit, but it's one of those things where I look at it and I go, I'll look at it as we enter the playoffs as something I put a little more credibility into, as opposed to mid-season where, again, like, things can be skewed dramatically based on one big win or one, you know, tough loss where things got away from you early. He's Connor McKnight. I'm Jeff Meller. This is Cap and Jay Hood. Plenty more to discuss. We're also talking, of course, about the Bears loss to the Lions. I'm sorry, the Bears win. Oh, it felt like a loss.
It did.
Based on the week. And Matt Nagy will let us know how the week played out in his world. We'll let you hear that next on ESPN 1000.
Captain Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
It's a Bears Friday, brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers. Normally a Bears Monday, but after the Bears plan Thanksgiving, we're going to make it a Bears Friday on this Black Friday today. Hopefully you're enjoying the day off with your family members after Thanksgiving. I'm Jeff Meller, along with Connor McKnight, as Cap and Jay Hood enjoy the day off as well today on Cap and Jay Hood. All right, Connor, so Matt Nagy, after yesterday's 16-14 victory over the Lions, was, of course, finally relieved to meet the media, and he was asked about what happened this week.
So there was a report that came out that was false, and that's where it started. And then we had practice, and we continued with our days, and we had our practices like we normally would, and I cleared it up with the team. And then, as I think everybody is aware, the next day, George came in and had a good talk with the team and confirmed that that was true. And then we went about our business.
Initial reactions to that, Connor?
It's dissociative, right? It's almost like this happened to, he's almost talking about it like it happened to someone else. It was like an out of body experience. There's very little, you know, and I get what he's trying to do. I understand he's like removing himself from the situation because he doesn't want to say what the rumor was, right? It feels like he's avoiding saying, I had my ass on the line the last 4 days, right? He's avoiding saying I was the guy on the wobbly chair for the last 4 or 5 days. And I get that. I don't fault Matt Nagy for that necessarily. But there are – and I think he says it in the next cut here, but there's another word he uses, the word distractions, about what was going on with this team. Maybe it's worth playing the next cut here and getting the full kind of scope of what Matt Nagy was talking about and dealing with.
I think this is what you're referring to, where Nagy talks about being open with his players this week.
Again, I don't wish anything. I just know that that I was there that day to be able to go out there and lead those guys in practice and try to focus to do everything we can do to win this game today. And anything else that happens, I got people that work, you know, that know what's going on outside of that building, that they tell me, okay, here's the deal, and that's it. And I go about it that way, and then we you know, I listen to what they had to say, and I think it's important in these type of times that you're very open with your players. I've taken a lot of time and effort to build relationships over the 3.5 years I've been here for these moments, because what happens is then people try to tear you down, they try to rip you apart, they think you're vulnerable, and I think today we just proved that we're not, you know, we got guys that fight. What I care about are these players and coaches. That's what I care about, because they're the ones that are out there sacrificing all their time and energy to get this win. They deserve this. When you lose 5 games in a row, I've been telling you this whole time, you want to go 1-0. That's it. Because you never know what can happen from there. And so when there's distractions, which is in every sport, in all facts of life, there's always going to be distractions. It's how you handle them. And again, we got the win today, and it could have went a lot of different ways. But the reason why we got the win is because of how they handled the distractions, you know. Again, that's where, to me, when you're in this business and you lead people, it's my job to make sure of honest and open communication. And that's where, for me, I just can't tell you how much this win means today to me because of what they did.
I think the win meant more to Matt Nagy than anybody else, to be honest.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And I, you know, you might not like him. You probably don't if you're a Bears fan. You're probably over the offense and talking about the whys. And it's been a long time since Santa's sleigh and Oompa Loompa and, you know, whatever the other trick plays were, all this other stuff. It's been a while, right? It's been a minute. But I got to tell you, Jeff, and I don't know if you feel the same way. I'd love to know if Bears fans do. But the way Matt Nagy has handled these particular distractions over the last 3-4 days has been some of his best work. I really think it's been some of his best work. And it's a position he's kind of put himself in. It's a position Ryan Pace has kind of put himself in. The fact that everybody in the NFL can look at this offense, the way this team's constructed, the lack of success offensively over the last few years and go, this has to be it for Matt Nagy. Unfortunately, this has to be it. And I say unfortunately because I think he is a genuinely nice guy. And I do believe that when he says, I've put 3.5 years of work into these relationships, so when things get testy, when these distractions pop up, that we can still overcome these things. I do believe him. Unfortunately, the rest of what matters, you know, making a quality offense and developing quarterbacks, hasn't been accomplished. So when he talks about distractions and the things that he's gotten to, he had to get over with his team and the players and coaches, these distractions he's talking about, they didn't really come from the media. They started with the media, but these distractions got amplified by Bears ownership. These distractions got amplified by a GM who was unwilling to speak, you know, basically for seasons at a time. These distractions that Matt Nagy and the rest of his team have had to overcome came from within the building. The call came from inside the house. And it doesn't matter, you know, like, how good Matt Nagy's been. No coach really deserves that extra layer of nonsense on top of what's going on. He deserves an ownership and a support structure that at least paves a clear path for that coach to make things better long term. And Matt Nagy hasn't gotten things right in a lot of different instances, but this organization isn't helping him over the last 2 weeks either. At least I don't think it is.
No, that's a bingo, as you just said. The distractions, they've turned their coach, who everybody from the outside looking in know they need to move on from, they've turned him into the sympathetic figure in this whole scenario. And again, it's of your own making. You can blame the media for. And, you know, I'm going to replay this real fast. I'll cut it off. But Nagy here talking about what happened this week.
So there was a report that came out that was false.
First time I've heard anybody say the word false. I keep hearing the word inaccurate. I read on Twitter yesterday, Ryan Pace being quoted as he does his pregame hit with the flagship station, where he was asked about what was his thoughts when he heard the report about Matt Nagy getting fired after Thursday's game. And, quote, this is what Ryan Pace said. Honestly, my first thought was, hey, that's an inaccurate report, unquote.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't even know how to come out with strong denials. Because the truth is that when Ryan Pace is speaking with the flagship station yesterday, you've heard it all week, Ryan. Right? Like, you know your obligation, one of your few, your only media obligation throughout the season, right, is the hit that you give with the flagship station before Bears games. And that is what you cobble together. Hey, that's an inaccurate report. I'm sorry. At least Matt Nagy says false. I don't know. And Matt Nagy's not in the position to know whether or not it's inaccurate, false, or true. And now they're changing their direction because they don't want to look ridiculous when they come out and fire him on today or Saturday of this week, because they're like, we don't want that. We don't want to be scooped on that situation. So let's change directions. I don't know. It's again, more incompetence by this organization. And for Ryan Pace to be so wishy-washy when he's had 3 days to prep for what he wants to say, he knows that question is coming or some form of it. Gather it together, man. Because you know what I can point to? Inaccurate. Well, what does that mean? Like, we can all point out the inaccuracy there. We all know, based on the report that Mark Conkle put out there, Matt Nagy was never informed that he would that would be his last game. But that doesn't mean that they weren't strongly considering hitting the ejection button on him if they lost yesterday, or maybe even if they won, had that report not gotten out, right?
Exactly.
Like, inaccurate. Well, you know what? You're telling me that it's not completely false. You're telling me, you know what? Parts of it, maybe.
I know
he wasn't told. I know that. That's the one thing I agree with, people out there. He was not told he was being fired. But other than that, the rest of it could have been true.
Matt Nagy to be fired Friday. Ryan Pace. Friday? No, never Friday. No, of course I'm not even in on Friday.
We were thinking Thursday afternoon, to be honest with you.
Well, that's true. That's true.
My first thought was, hey, that's inaccurate.
We have, you know what? No, it's not our fault. Jeff, it's not our fault. Let's put the trauma on those who enforce the trauma. The Bears have put Bears fans in a place where you celebrate leaping over the bar at bare minimum, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's where this franchise has put their fans. They clear the bare minimum. They beat the Lions by a last second field goal, and we're supposed to cheer? Like, that's supposed to be the end of the movie? That's riding off into the sunset, beating the winless Lions by a field goal? Hard pass.
Bears
Hard
fans.
Hard pass on that. Call me when you win 11 in the season and make it back to the playoffs.
Bears fans, were you like me? Were you rooting for Cairo Santos to miss that field goal yesterday so that the Bears could wear the most embarrassing loss of the season? Let us know. 312-332-3776. He's Connor McKnight. I'm Jeff Meller, in for Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Try by Santos to win it. Good snap, good hold, good kick, goodbye. Bears win it, and the five-game losing streak is over for Chicago and Matt Nagy.
It is indeed. Yesterday, the call on Fox, Joe Buck there. Curious, he was so ready for good kick, goodbye. Had that kick gone wide, would he have still gone goodbye anyway? It wouldn't have rolled off the tongue quite as nicely, but he still would have been able to say goodbye because the game would have been over nevertheless. And I'm wondering if Bears fans were like me, actually rooting for a missed 28-yard field goal at that point so that the Bears could do the walk of shame out of Detroit and Ford Field yesterday. I'm Jeff Meller alongside Connor McKnight talking about the Bears' Thanksgiving win against the Lions yesterday on the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
You think if Santos misses it, the call changes to goodbye Matt Nagy? Like, do you think that's where it
goes? About good grief?
No, I think it's too presumptuous for Buck to go down that road.
He
would not do that.
What did Tyler say? Good grief?
Yeah.
Like a Charlie Brown toss?
Let's hear it.
That'd be great. That would have been an amazing call.
28-yard try by Santos to win it. Good snap, good hold, good kick, goodbye.
So, 28-yard field goal by Santos to win it. Good snap, good hold, wide left. Good grief.
Good grief. That's a great one. That's why Tyler's going to be calling games.
Absolutely.
In about 5-6 years. That's where we're headed
here. It's just a matter of time. Right now, you can catch him doing some Loyola stuff in and around. It was ESPN 3, right?
Are we ESPN 3, ESPN Plus from time to time.
There you go. So you can.
Carm won't watch, but that's okay.
He's coming down. He's coming after Mike Monaco. He's breathing down Wayne Randazzo's. I mean, this is looking.
He's
swinging a cutlass through the wide swath of young broadcasters in this world.
He's got his eyes set on you, Adam Amin. Look out. He's taking aim. Adam Amin, the ESPN 1000 internship led to great things. He obviously was far too talented for this place, so he's now on to bigger and better things. And Tyler Aki has his eyes set on the same thing. But nevertheless, so were you like me, Bears fans, out there going, you know what? The best thing for everybody all involved is for the Bears to actually lose this game. Did that thought cross your mind at all yesterday, Connor?
It absolutely did. It absolutely did. I'm ready for it, right? I think the writing's on the wall, mm-hmm. right? And I think that poster's been up there for a couple of weeks, years now. I mean, there's an honest conversation to be had. I mean, not even a vindictive one, right? But an honest conversation we had about whether the Bears made a mistake in bringing back Matt Nagy and or Ryan Pace the moment they got Justin Fields in the draft. You know, there's a real honest conversation to be had there that doesn't have to get mean or nasty. It can just be a football conversation. I think this, Jeff, I would not be surprised if the reports came out about Matt Nagy and they hit a little too close to home, right? Maybe the Bears really were thinking about letting go of Matt Nagy had they lost to the Lions or regardless of the outcome in this game. And instead, they see the reports. They see the frenzy that, you know, the quote unquote frenzy that we all whipped ourselves into, regardless of the fact that they kind of started the fire, right? And then said, you know what? No, we're not going to do it now. We can't do it now. Yes. We won't be the team that just, you know, makes it look like we've responded to the firestorm and the frenzy and all this other nonsense. I wouldn't be too surprised if they reversed course themselves and pulled like a, you know, like a double agent thing, a fake out sort of deal. That sounds pretty plausible. That sounds very understandable for them.
I do think that's the scenario that played out. Let's try Tom, who is in Oak Lawn. Hey, Tom, you're on Cap and Jay Hood with Connor and Meller.
Hey, so first of all, that's why they paid Tyler Aki the big bucks, so then he could come up with the good grief line. So
we can barely afford him. We can barely afford Tyler. It's real close. The budget's tight.
I will say the reports are inaccurate that I was rooting for that field goal to miss. But I will say, as I'm watching,
but they
that
weren't
game,
false, Tom. They weren't false, Tom. They were inaccurate.
Yeah, they were inaccurate. But I will say that as I was watching that game, it just seemed like nobody really wanted to win, and then all of a sudden the Lions were like, you know what? We're going to be nice. You guys need this victory. You pick it up. We're the Lions. We don't need victories and stuff. In fact, we'll even help you by doing two timeouts in a row and getting a delay game on the defense, which never happens.
Yeah.
Just so then you can get closer. So, I mean, normally I don't feel sorry for Joe Buck, but yesterday I did. So, I mean, Bears have done that to me. And I think, just like you guys have said, I just feel like it's going to happen no matter if they would have won or lost that game. And, I mean, unless they go on this magical run where they win the rest of these games and sneak into the playoffs, I could see the Bears not letting him just coach out the string just so then they can be like, see, the media doesn't know what they're talking about. All these reports are false. You know, I don't know what they're talking about because they're all children up there. They're not mature adults or anything like that. It's proven throughout the whole firestorm leading up to this game. So I no offense to Matt Nagy, like you guys said, he seems like a nice guy. I just feel like It's time to move on.
It's run its course. I hear you, Tom. Thanks for the call. We do appreciate it. So Tom was not necessarily rooting for it, but he wouldn't have hated it if it played out that way. And I think Tom's probably onto something. I do think that there's a good chance now, based on what unfolded this past week, that the Bears do ride it out to the end of the season and keep their tact in streak here of never having fired a head coach in season. I think that's a possibility now after the events that unfolded this past week, Connor.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, and I think it's very Bears, right? I'm pulling up the Bears schedule the rest of the way just so that I've got it, you know, in front of me. But Justin Fields has, you know, apparently some cracked ribs that'll keep him out for a little while. Okay, so that's, you know, Thursday, and then next week you've got the Cardinals at home. Are you going to bring Justin Fields back for that game? Probably not, right?
And the Cardinals are coming off a bye where they will likely have Kyler Murray finally back because he was close to playing this last week. Now they have the extra bye.
Right.
Off the bye, you know, that sets up well for the Cardinals despite the fact that they're on the road.
So you're going to get run out the gym in that game against the Cardinals. Right? It's going to be an absolute, you know, whooping. Then you go up to Green Bay December 12th.
Oh, boy.
I think that's probably your Justin Fields return game. So now you've got him coming off the rust.
Well, good news is
to Lambeau for the first time.
That, of course, is a Sunday night or nationally televised. I don't think they'll be flexed out of that one just because Bears-Packers is generally a pretty good ratings game for NBC. So I do not anticipate that that game will be flexed out of, because it's just too good for NBC to move off of it. Unless we're talking about like both teams being atrocious.
I agree with you. Or Aaron Rodgers having COVID foot instead of COVID toe or whatever that is. You know, he's got that whole thing going on. Then you've got the Vikings, right? And I think this is where, you know, we were just talking about the Vikings during Shot or No Shot. Mm-hmm. I would say December 20th is right about the point where Kirk Cousins remembers he's Kirk Cousins. So I put that as a potential, because Justin will have played, you know, I'm guessing here, right? But just play out the string here with me. Justin will have played two games at that point, the Packers game and then the Vikings game is his second game back.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll look fine. The Vikings will do their thing. Kirk Cousins will throw it to hopefully a healthy Roquan Smith a couple of times, right across the middle, inexplicably. So the Bears get their win there, you know, and they come back against the Seahawks. And then it's, at that point, there's only 3 weeks left of this 17-game schedule. Why not just let Matt Nagy play the whole thing out? I mean, it feels like to me at this point, either Justin Fields would have to stand up and say, I don't understand Matt Nagy's offense. He's telling me to throw it to the guys in the other jersey. And at that point, the Bears would have to go, okay, that's not the offense for us. We have to move on in season.
The only question would be, do the Bears want to take advantage of the new rule in the NFL where they would have the opportunity to go ahead and interview head coaches in week 17 now, which is new. In the past, you weren't able to do it until the playoffs, until after the regular season, but they've introduced that rule now. So, you know, would you want to part ways with Matt Nagy prior to that so you could take advantage of that? That would be the question. And the only real incentive, I think, at this point for the Bears to go ahead and make the move. Let's try Kevin, who's in Bronzeville, wants to talk about yesterday's game. Kev, were you rooting for Cairo Santos to actually miss that field goal like I was?
No, and I'm going to tell you why, and I'm going to try to make it quick, because I got just a couple points. But no, I wasn't rooting for that. Like, you know, I don't believe – like, we're past that. We have our quarterback. We're past the days of trying to lose. Like, the Bears don't have a first-round pick. And, like, there are certain games as a program, like you hear about in college program, but even in leagues, as a program, you can't lose to Detroit. In our division, you know, we're not the best, but we have to beat Detroit twice a year. Like, that's what you have to do. And my other main point is, they've been talking about firing Nagy mid-season. That's dumb to me, because when Nagy goes, Pace needs to go. When Pace came here, everybody complained that they forced him to be with John Fox, blah, blah, blah. Well, then he got Nagy. So Nagy's his guy. So he's tied to Nagy. So when Nagy goes down, Pace needs to go too. And my other real point is that, like, there's no reason to lose, because you look at Justin Herbert's rookie year. They won, like, five games. But he was clearly, like, he was playing so well that the coach, it clearly was the coach. The coach made them look so bad. He didn't have to perform bad, and they weren't trying to lose games. They were losing because clearly the coach wasn't the guy. I want them to win as many games as they can, and Matt Nagy will show his colors in the process.
I hear you, Kevin. I will admit, though, you know, generally when I'm rooting for, if I start rooting for losses because a Bears season has gotten away from them, it's because I want a better draft pick. Obviously, without your first round pick next season, which is headed to the Giants as a result of the Justin Fields trade, the only reason for me rooting for Cairo Santos to miss yesterday was so that the Bears could be a national embarrassment and they couldn't take any solace in the fact that they beat a woeful Lions team.
Yeah, I feel you. Hey, here's the – you mentioned something, Jeff. After the break, I want to get back into this. You mentioned the new rule that teams have about interviewing coaches in the last 2 weeks of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to hold on to that in their brains real quick, because I think, you know, it's not a doomsday scenario, but there's something about that potential, that new rule that the Bears may or may not take advantage of that I think could scare you just a little bit in the last 2 weeks of the year.
Perfect. We'll do that next. He's Connor McKnight. I'm Jeff Miller. Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000.
It's our favorite time of year. We're back traveling the road of college football, and Goodyear knows the passion and excitement it takes to drive forward. Whether your team is home or away, the game's traditions are still the same. Through every first down, touchdown, or fourth quarter comeback, by moving, anything is possible. Goodyear is here to drive you forward on the road that moves us all. Goodyear, more driven.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Right before we went to break, Connor McKnight was whetting our appetites with a little idea of his own that he wanted to bounce off us. I'm Jeff Meller. We're in for Cap and Jay Hood here on ESPN 1000. All right, Connor, lay it out for me here. What do you got?
All right, so here's what I'm thinking. And I know you know this, Jeff, but for those who are not familiar with the nuance of the NFL rule book and the things that govern how teams can operate in the last 2 weeks of the season, let me read you just a couple of quick sentences. This is from an NFL Network report from Nick Shook back in October. A notable change revealed in the NFL memo that they're talking about here. Beginning in this upcoming hiring cycle, which we're about to enter now, teams are allowed to interview a candidate for a head coach position during the final 2 weeks of the regular season with the consent of the employer club. The interview can be virtual because the world's on fire. And once the employing team gives consent, the candidate will be able to interview for any open head coach role.
Yes.
A position is considered open if the head coach that started the season is no longer employed by the club or has received notice he will no longer be with the club in the following season. As it was prior to these changes, candidates not currently employed by a team are free to interview as they please. So, big note here. A position is considered open if the head coach at the start of the season is no longer employed by the club or has received notice he will no longer be with the club in the following season. That opens things up a little bit for the Bears. And I appreciate and I understand, Jeff, you bringing up the idea of the Bears taking advantage of this rule and interviewing head coaching candidates in the last 2 weeks of the season. If you're doing that, that means Ryan Pace is conducting that search and those interviews.
True.
Do you want that? Are you interested in the next head coach hired by Ryan Pace? I don't know that a lot of Bears fans are.
It's a great point, and yeah, I personally would prefer that Ryan Pace, the Bears part ways with Ryan Pace as well as Matt Nagy at the end of the season, and so that's a good point. You would have to have but let's be honest, a functioning organization, you know, could be if you knew you were making the move from Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, you could be lining up who the next president slash GM of your organization would be and have that person theoretically ready to go. You know, I suppose if you're looking inside of other organizations, this just goes to why the Bears are in a terrible position no matter how this plays out.
Right. Whether they are.
Whether they keep Ryan Pace and allow him to hire the next head coach, or if they need to now go find their next president slash GM to take over for Ryan Pace. And if I shudder to think of the idea that, you know, what's been floated out there at times that Ryan Pace could still be a holdover in the organization, moved to some ancillary position, but also be a voice in helping hire the next GM, which I don't know why on earth, you know, that would need to be the case, but it sounds like that's a possibility, at least something the Bears brass is open to. It's a bad spot to be in, Connor.
It really is. And there's another piece to this, too. Maybe we could do it, you know, after the 9 o'clock hour or within the 9 o'clock hour. But I brought something up on I brought something up on Wednesday about who might be the next Bears head coach. And Cap and you and Danny all just shouted me down. And I've been thinking about it over the last couple of days. And I think you guys were right to tell me no. But I think it's the Bears' fault for why I'm wrong. I don't think it's my fault. This isn't my fault. I think it's the Bears' fault that I'm wrong. And I'll tell you why. One of the hottest NFL head coaching candidates for years now is probably not coming to the Bears, and why it's their fault.
I like that, Connor. Completely shift the blame from yourself.
It's not my fault. It's never my fault.
Place it on the Bears. I think that is always the right way to go. Connor shares that with us next in just 2 minutes.